So we're at the Yall railway station, and we're beside what we knew, the old railway turntable. And beside me is Anthony Daly. And Anthony, I see you working here. You're excavating it, and you're in charge of it. And Anthony, great to see you in Yall on this sunny day. We're at the end of the line here.
Yes.
Can you tell me what you're doing here and your background and who you work with?
My own name is Anthony Daly. I'm from East Clare in Killaloo O'Brien's Bridge area. I've been involved actually in the Greenway, the Yall to Middleton Greenway, since 2020, since we originally cleared it. And before that, I was involved with the consultant ecologist group, Flynn Fernley Ecologists, surveying badger activity on the Greenway. Bit by bit, the County Council have I've won tenders for different little jobs along it, and I was lucky enough to win this tender for the careful exploration of this old turntable here in Yall.
What did you think when you came across it?
I actually researched it first to see could I see old videos or old photographs of it. I found some lovely information on YouTube and that, and actually from local people. There's a huge interest here in Yall. It's bringing back a lot of memories, and it's great to see it, you know, going to be restored to its former glory.
Anthony, I'm one of those with those nostalgic memories.
Yes.
I think people know me obviously as Mr. Nostalgia, but
right.
I can remember it here in the 80s when it was covered over at the time, and there was a bit of a fuss about it because people were saying, why are they covering it over?
Yeah.
My memories was it was kind of gravel and some kind of sand or whatever.
Yeah.
But before they covered it over, of course the railway wasn't working then, and
that's
it was
right.
being overgrown with weeds and all brambles and all that kind
right.
of stuff. But on reflection, they knew what they were doing. They were forward thinking because it was a good to cover us up and preserve us, you think?
Well, I've come across this before where a structure has become what we would say is environmentally encased. It's where the elements can't get at it. And luckily here that the underground drainage actually still works. So it allowed the water through it. The material that they put in, it was a kind of a sand and gravel mix. And that was free draining as well, but it did definitely help this structure retain its former you know glory. The CIE engineers and historic crew that was here earlier on today, they were amazed with the condition it was in, and they were really pleased that this would be it's going forward. It'll be sandblasted next. It'll be primed. CIE will come on maybe second week of July. They'll retimber the old rail. They'll put a walking platform on it and over it here, over the centre of it for health and safety. And the plan is to hopefully come across an old locomotive engine and put it here for display.
Well, fantastic, because that's of course what was his function.
Oh,
where
exactly.
When it was at the end of the line, the train engine of the locomotive was put on, and it was actually manually then turned around, facing in the direction it came from.
That's right. You can see the walkway around it here, the concrete apron, where the driver, and I'm told a few of the younger kids here used to give a hand.
There was a lot of young kids that people remember now when they hear this.
To help the driver turn the train around. I mean, the engineering itself. I haven't got a year, but the engineering itself to balance the centre pivot and to get all our levels right to millimetre precise accuracy is amazing. Back then.
And this is the centre pivot.
This is the centre pivot.
What is it? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's kind of... There's 6 really large...
That's right.
Nuts and bolts, we'll call them.
If they were on your car, you'd have a bit of a job. I mean... Look, the engineering, a lot of the old structures that I came across in the clearance, I mean, the old culverts were actually made of brick. And the accuracy for the falls, I was amazed at the structures. I mean, the brick arches are still perfect and still functioning. So those Royal College of Engineers, I mean, the training, the experience that we say the English got when they were going from country colonisation and all that, they were ahead of their time.
They knew their stuff. And like you said, going out the bog here where the Greenway is going through.
Yes, exactly.
That's crisscrossed, as you know, with water channels and going underneath all the culverts, underneath the railway, going down to the Front Strand and the Claycastle.
Unbelievable.
Beach. And that's all the rainwater coming from the hills,
as
we know. But what genius, what mindset they had for then. But looking at this massive structure here, it's really well balanced, as you can see. You remarked on the rivets there. They look like the rivets you see on the side of a ship.
Well, exactly. The method of the riveting here was done on site. It would be on par to the same method, as I said earlier, as what the riveting was done on the Titanic.
Really? Yeah.
Definitely, 1,000%. It was a heated rivet, two men at either side, one side, each side, and it was basically you put the hot ball through and you put another hot receiver on the end, and it was hammered together.
And they're all in remarkable good condition. You've seen them in other places.
I have.
Almost inland, where they're deteriorated.
That's right.
But they're preserved here with the sea here. Why is that?
They've preserved here because literally they have been encased since the 80s in that free draining sile that was put in here. Now, obviously, I can only think from a CIE point of view that was actually encased because of a health and safety issue.
Right.
In case that someone walked on a broken board here and fell into the centre around. So it was both health and safety and a way of maybe, you know, preserving it.
Now, Anthony, I saw you work in there. You were like a surgeon with a scalpel, with your digger, and you were going round all the concrete.
Oh, that's right.
Circular around concrete and the metal rail as
that's
well
right,
there.
That's right.
How difficult was that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've been involved in a lot of these sensitive projects. You just need a steady hand and a good eye. Some of the concrete work, the outside work is farm work, is what they call it. It was done with shuttering, but it could be brittle enough, so you have to take your time. That outside rail, you can see there's actually two wheels on either side of the turntable that it runs on perfectly, just for added stability.
And of course, they got that balance as well, which is amazing.
You know, my last piece of my work here is to clean out all the excess, and I have to then look at sandblasting and priming this center turntable for painting for the CIE historic guys.
It's going to be a great an attraction for the locals, for the tourists, the heritage, the railway enthusiasts. It's going to be remarkable to see.
It will surely. And since we started the excavation, the amount of people that have actually called in and have talked to me with their amazement and their joy of it actually seeing it again open and clear for since 40 years ago is amazing. It's bringing back all old memories from all the guys, between guys Mitchin School and God knows what else, but to young guys actually help the drivers push the train around. So, you know, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
And anyway, when you said Mitchin School down here, we use a word. It's only used around this area, to believe it, but it's the same thing. Fadging.
That's what we call it here.
And there was some of the lads back in the days when the train was here. Some of the lads would go in the back of the beating for a little spin up the Cork and the way back down again. Could you imagine
the
fun from that? Must be like someone out of Huckleberry Finn. Anthony, also the different kind of excursion trains that came down here. It's reported that between the switchover from the steam trains to the diesel trains, there was reports from the Cork Examiner that there was 5,000 came down on one day and then off onto the beach and
unbelievable,
the Strand Palace and all that.
I've seen old photographs of different crowds here on different occasions. An unbelievable sight for here for y'all. That amount of people coming in. It's footfall, it's business to the local businesses. I mean, you've multimillionaires living on the south of France and the Riviera looking, but y'all is such a beautiful place, and you get great weather. You know, it's fantastic.
Anthony, there's going to be people listening to this, and they'll be saying to me, why don't you ask them the elephant in the room question about bringing the train back to yours? I'm just going to say a couple of things that they might ask. A couple of things, traffic on the road, easing and that, the environmental reasons, tourism, like I said, said, over 5,000 on one day back in the 50s.
Yeah.
People say about the cost that it's not cost effective, but that in the train service on the planet that isn't cost effective, it's a public service.
Yes.
I know it's not your brief, but could you give it a bit of input into that?
Look, my own input in it, and I've been involved in a couple of greenways in the last few years. Up to now, I mean, this whole 6-acre site here in Yall has been derelict. And I think, okay, some people will say it's a misuse of tax funds and that, but I think to actually open and get something going that will bring people in, I know not on a train unfortunately yet, but from talking to different guys involved in the industry, until such a time that the population expands to a certain extent that the footfall is needed. I know people are giving out about Castle Martyr and they're giving out about different pockets of areas of traffic, but our population of Ireland of 5 odd million is only half of what London is, you know. So, and a lot of those trains that I see around my own site, there's only 4 or 5 guys on it in the middle of the day. So, you know, look, at the moment, get the people in walking, cycling first, and then 20, 30 years' time, who knows? It's only a piece of tart, it's easy to put down the track.
Anthony, looking over here, yes, this fantastic looking Victorian red brick,
yes,
railway station,
yes, yes,
building. The roof is in immaculate condition, the brickwork is. Is there anything planned for that, do you think?
There is. There was already actually structural engineers down that have looked at it. There is subsidence in the centre arches. But, I mean, the surveys have been done. They will be drawing up plans and it'll be taken to the top table as to what they could do. It would be fantastic to have a cafe, a little history museum over there. It's a great opportunity for the young kids to come and see what way things work.
Brilliant.
Down here.
Wouldn't this make a great school project if there's anyone listening out there as well? The turntable end of the line and the red brick building
When I cleared this in 2020, I also was involved this year alone in possibly, we planted nearly 20,000 trees between hedging and trees. And with the ecologists, our view is on a school trip, they'd be brought up around and be made aware of the different species, what they do, you know, the different animals and native habitat that we have. It's coming from a woodland into a bog area to a sea area in a matter of 23, 24 kilometres, which is fantastic.
Anthony, back in our parents' time,
yes,
and go back to the 50s, there was train excursions coming here.
Yes,
I said, there was one train before my time, but it's all in the archives. There was one called the Showboat Express.
Being
that was, it was a train full of people coming down from the city, going to another place, just as what you see over our shoulder.
One of the hotels.
The hotels, but the Strand Palace and the Showboat.
Yes.
The dance halls.
Oh, yes.
Before the Red Baron time.
Yes.
And they would come down to dance to Mick Delahunty.
Oh, yes, I heard the name mentioned.
Mick Delahunty and all those guys, you know.
Yeah,
so, sorry for the interruption, but they had a sign in front of the train called the Showboat Express,
yes,
and Mick Dillon, the boys, would come down with the band and actually play the music, like the Pied Piper, they'd all dance up to the palace. What a sight that is.
And
there is photographs of that as well. But also, Anthony, I want to tell you that there was another train, and it was called, they used to have a nickname for it, was called the Rosary Train.
Oh, yes.
And what it was they'd have the people would come and town, they go off to Knock from Yall, and they'd have the rosary piped into the different carriages,
and
they'd be sending the rosary from Yall to Cork.
Yeah.
So one was called the Rosary Train, the other one was called the Showboat Express. I have a funny feeling, Anthony, would you agree with me, that the Showboat Express was the one that came down first, and then with all the gallivanting they went on up in the Strand Palace,
they
went back up then with the Rosary Train after that. Would you agree?
I'd say for their sins they were saying the Rosary the whole way to Cork back home. Definitely without a doubt. Even though it was 50 years ago, humans are the same as what they are now, only maybe a bit more technology, but the same messing went on 50, 60 years ago as it does now. No, brilliant.
Well,
brilliant.
Listen, thank you, Anthony Daly.
Yeah.
You're doing fantastic work here. It's just coming all together here. It's going to be a great sight to see.
It will surely. And as I said, Noel, delighted to be a part of it.